was in a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing already, but I'm sitting here and all of a sudden I get this droopy microphone syndrome. I'm going to say something, my mic just droops on down the other way.
They got pills for that.
Yeah, a little blue hammer, a little triangle-shaped blue hammer. I don't know why I should know that. Good God. All right, I guess you could tell it's radio fishing time. And this is Fish and Frank in the chair here. There's 20 Oopers in a pontoon boat over there, and Captain Kale in the chair across from me. What a day. Telling lies, fishing, yeah, it's all good.
That's not mine.
Yeah, it's a little, that's not yours.
No.
I don't think anybody else has been in your chair.
That was a long white hair.
Long white hair. Actually, I don't think it's mine yet. I've got a few, but not
too
many. I got a couple long gray ones. You know, I don't know why it is, but, you know, look down and I'm a fur-covered animal. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm rather furry. And
you wear a sweater under your T-shirt.
Yes. And I look down, there's like a 5-inch gray hair sticking out that wasn't there like the day before.
I've got one of those, too. It roams around.
Yeah.
You find it over here on this shoulder. Then a couple months later, it's over here on this arm.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it best when it comes out of the eyebrow. So
I haven't had that problem yet.
Oh, just wait a couple years.
I'm a few years off.
Yeah, just wait a few years. Okay. Anyway, enough old guy stuff. To the fishing. So what's been going on in the wide world of fishing, charters and charter boats and all that other stuff?
A lot of shallow water fishing. With this full moon and this wind, there has been no water out there on that river.
I sent my son, because he's been down a few times, and he knows what the river looks like out in front of the house, and sent him a picture.
Did you even have a boat ramp yesterday?
No.
Just had an angled seawall?
Yeah, and an angled seawall with a drop-off, yes. And there's but that whole big bar out in the middle of the river was all exposed.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, you could have walked from Ponce de Leon to Alligator Creek yesterday.
Yeah, and not gotten your butt wet.
No, I don't think you got your knees wet. So, anyway, so what's been going on with the shallow water? I got to tell you, sometimes to me, it almost feels like it's easier. Because if there's no water, there's no fish. They got to be in a hole.
Yeah, the hard part's getting to that hole.
That I would agree.
But
no wheels on that boat of yours.
No, huh? And once you get there, yeah, it's usually like shooting trout in the proverbial barrel.
Yeah, so anyway. Can't help but smile. You know, we started out doing these openings, and we've had phone calls, medical bill stuff, everything's been coming out. We haven't been able to get more than, what, 5 seconds past the outro?
A lot of intermissions.
Yes, a lot of intermissions. We just decided we're going to start over again. I started off this show with droopy microphone syndrome. I go up, I go to talk to the mic, and it just bloop, drops to the floor. And, yes.
Well, with all these doctors that you've been dealing with, you haven't got a prescription for that, too?
I want one. I got to go ask about one. I keep feeling like that makes me really, really old to ask for that prescription. But I guess
I'm one of these
days, you know. But sure would take the pressure off. Or put the pressure on. I don't know how you ever describe that. Okay, enough. All right, we're going to get into some fishing here. This is Radio Fishing. Remember, fishing. So, what's been going on, Captain?
Well, today was a no-go.
What happened today?
Today I had an educational trip. It's one of the other different charters that I do. Sometimes you don't need to take me out in my boat. If you have your own
boat. So how are you going to go fishing without your boat?
Well, I go on their boat.
You know? Okay, now it's starting to make a little more sense. I was beginning to wonder what magic water shoes.
Well, with the shallows at bed, you don't need them.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, yeah, he hired you to go on his boat with you.
Right, hired me to go on his boat as an educational trip. He's new to the area, is trying to learn the fishing and learn the water. So it doesn't do him any good to go on my boat, because my boat may go places and do things that his can't, or vice versa.
Gotcha.
So it's better to learn on his boat.
So, all right, so you went to his house.
Went to his house, and unfortunately, we just didn't have enough water to get the boat off the lift. And we may have squeaked it out, getting it out, but we'd have never got it back in.
Gotcha. And yeah. Sometimes the best part of valor is just say, okay.
Yeah, it's
run away.
Yeah, exactly. It was out of our hands. He had one of those diagonal lifts, not one of the normal straight up and down lifts.
Right.
We probably could have done it if he had a normal lift, but there's no place to tie the boat up to let the water come up and then put it on the lift. The dock is the lift.
Ooh, with those that's diagonal tough. Ones. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
So we had a real good trip yesterday.
So what happened yesterday?
Yesterday I had four guys on my boat. They wanted to go out and...
So where do you pick people up at?
I usually pick up at Lashley. I can pick up anywhere. I can pick up at any of our boat ramps or boat launches. And if you live on a canal, I'll even be more than happy enough to pick you up in your own backyard.
Now, that is kind of cool because I know several times I've booked you to go to people's houses.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that is really cool, if you're up north and you're thinking about buying a house here, it's a little bit extra on the price of a charter, but you can actually go out fishing for the day and at one point take a kind of a pause in the action, and Kale will run you to a lot that you're thinking about buying and give you real-time water information about it. Because I don't care how many times you look at a chart or talk to anybody, and you talk to us, we can pretty much tell you about, if we know where you're going to buy, how long it's going to take you to get out, what right. kind of water, if there's any right. bridges. I mean, we have real estate people calling us all the time asking us these questions. Okay, the customer wants, he's thinking about buying a house in this area, and what is it like, and when's the fishing there, and when, how far do you got to go, and all these things.
Yeah, but it's worth it because a lot of times the real estate agents don't know. Well, it's 15 minutes.
Yeah, and a lot it's of actually times, 40, 45 yeah, minutes.
If you're back in the bird section of PGI or way back inside the Port Charlotte canals, sometimes it's an hour ride just to get to the harbor.
Right.
Let alone offshore.
Depending upon what boat you have, right. you might not be able to take poacher's cut or whatever. And we've had people that have come in and the real estate agent told them they live in South Gulf Cove, and they said, oh, it's only 5 minutes down the water. No, not so much. It takes more than 5 minutes to get through the locks.
Right. You know, and that's so. If you get through them.
Right.
I spent the day inside the locks one day. They just decided they weren't going to work anymore. And we sat there for 6 hours waiting for somebody to come open up the locks.
Hmm. So there's a lot to be said about... One of the things I always tell people, before you buy a boat, before you do any of this stuff, hire a captain to go fishing, preferably two. Now, sorry, Kale, but I don't recommend them taking the same captain twice.
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you.
Because you need to hire two captains with two totally different boats.
Right.
And see what you like about a boat and what you don't like. Because part of it's about the captain. When you call a captain, if you enjoy talking to them and you guys are having a good time on the phone, remember, everybody's going to have good and bad days fishing.
Sure.
But if you don't like the guy, why the heck would you want to spend 4 or 5 hours on a boat with him?
Right. Right.
You know, that's to me the number one clue right there.
Especially if you're not catching fish.
Yeah, especially if you're not catching fish.
If you're
fish.
Catching a lot of fish, it might be livable.
Yeah, you don't but really care, not. But, you know. Yeah. But anyway, so yesterday you had four guys?
Yeah, we had four guys on the boat. We were definitely water depth challenged. My boat will float in about 4 inches of water. It'll run in about 8 inches of water. Once you get to that four-person mark, that's extra weight. So we couldn't get as far back into the east side as we wanted to. But we stayed out inside the bar, out there on the grass flats, and did a lot of shallow water fishing out there.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, man.
It's blowing up over there.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck happened, but I guess I'm allergic to myself.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah. We started out.
I get a question.
Sure.
Now, you said you went over to the east side. Now, what's the, okay, there's a sandbar that separates the flats from the harbor.
Correct.
All right. And why were you trying to get back to the back?
Are you done?
I don't know. I could be dying over here. If you're a doctor, just give me a call. I'm probably not going to make it through this.
I want to get in behind that sandbar because those grass flats in behind that sandbar are structure. You've got the patches of grass and the patches of bare sand, and it's really the only structure out there in open water besides the bar itself.
It's, well, that's where all the shrimp and the pinfish.
Exactly.
And
it's where all your food is. The food is. That's where the fish feel at least relatively safe. It's harder for your bigger predators to get in there.
But why were we trying to get back so far?
I wanted to get further back into the mangroves looking for the redfish and the snook. They've had a lot of pressure on the outsides of the islands from your everyday fishermen, your mullet fishermen, your charter captains. And a lot of your redfish and snook have moved further back into those keys on the east side.
So the further back you get, the more likely you are to find some fish that haven't been molested in a while.
Right.
Because it's tricky getting back there. I mean,
it's very tricky, especially on a low tide with a 15-mile-an-hour northeast wind.
Right.
We couldn't get back there. I just didn't have the water that day. You know, it was another one of those days where the ospreys are catching flounder. And if the ospreys are catching flounder, there's no water out there.
Right, because they can only go about 6 inches in. So, right.
But we found some deeper holes inside the bar. We started out just above Pirate Harbor.
Well, what I like about that area is that the bar is not very well defined there. As you get north from Pirate Harbor, the sandbar that separates the harbor from the flats is much more defined.
Right.
And on the low water, it's literally a wall barrier.
Yeah.
Because the sand sticks up out of the water. You've got this big, long barrier. And as you get down by Pirate Harbor, the bar is so ill-defined, and it's got a little troughs and stuff for the fish to access in or
out.
If the water gets too low, actually to get off of the flats.
Right, right.
So they're going to these areas, and it concentrates the fish more, because if you were in a room and the ceiling came up and down every day, and the you walked in and the ceiling was only a couple inches over your head, and looks like it was going to come down some more, you would stand very, very close to the door.
Right. Just in case.
Just in case.
I don't want to be the first one out.
Yeah. You don't want to be all the way into the back of the building in case that ceiling starts coming down a little quicker than you thought. You're going to hang out just inside of the exit. And fish do the same thing. You know, trying to give you an idea.
That's a very good analogy for our tides.
You know, because it's literally like a ceiling on top of their head.
It is.
If that water level drops, they're exposed to air, and it's all over. Whether you get crushed by the metaphoric ceiling coming up and down that would crush you, with spikes sticking out of it and the blood dripping. Never mind. Okay, but you know,
or you suffocate. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing. So that's one of the reasons I like that area down there in those super low tide days, and it is more dimpled on the bottom. You know, people would, we always say the holes, but when we're talking holes, if you think of it as dimpled, it's probably a better analogy, because we're talking areas that are 4 to 6 inches deeper, 2 to 6 inches deeper.
Right. It could have been a hole that a stingray made when he slept there the night before.
And
now it's trout structure. Now it's redfish structure.
Well, it doesn't sound like much when you figure the average water depth there is 2 feet, 6 inches is 25% of the total depth.
Right.
If you figure it on percentages, 2, 4, 6 inches is huge back there in those areas. A lot of grass. Now,
lots
did you
of grass.
Anchor up or were you drifting? What happened?
We did a little bit of both. The first hole that we stopped at, we anchored up. I was pretty confident in what was in that hole. I knew it was a larger hole. I just had to get positioned on it right. We sat there for about 10 minutes, didn't catch anything, moved over 5 feet to get a different angle into that hole, and it made all the difference in the world.
You know, I've never understood why people that get there somewhere and they anchor up and they get there and they start fishing, and if I'm not hitting anything in 30 to 40 minutes, I'm going to move a little bit. And like you say, it's amazing what 6-8 feet will do.
Yeah, and they even said, you know, you move 10 feet, if that, and it changed the world.
Yep.
Why is that? It's all about the presentation. That water's flowing through a certain way. They want to see their food coming from a certain direction. We were casting into the same spot that we were casting from 10 feet ago. But because we were doing it from a different angle, it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, catching fish is catching fish. It's all about adapting and overcoming. And I'm a big proponent. When people come in, they say, well, we're going down to the pier. How should we fish? Well, you fish with a bobber. You fish with a sinker. You,
exactly.
You know, and...
And I've been doing the same thing out there, and we did it yesterday. Two guys start with shrimp, two guys with artificial. Because the trout have been wanting either one or the other. Now, we kind of lucked out and they ate both that day.
I always like it when a plan comes together. Yeah. Luck is such a wonderful thing.
It is, but that was the first day. That was the first day in 3 weeks that they did that. They either want shrimp or they want artificials.
I think sometimes it's about fish go through the same thing as me. Sometimes I get out on the boat, and you've seen me and Terry sleeping on the boats with the rods out, and all I want to do is just throw a piece of bait out and relax. I want just, you know, the fishy, just to relax. And other days, I actually want to kind of get into the frustration thing of it, and I'm pitching lures, or I just want the interaction with everything. And I think sometimes the fish are more lethargic and don't really want to have to chase the food.
And one of the things that I tell the guys that are throwing the artificials, guys, I want you to pay attention to when that fish hits. Is he hitting it on the jerk or is he hitting it on the pause? Because that'll tell me everything I need to know. If they're hitting it on the jerk, they're hungry, they're aggressive, they're probably going to eat anything I throw at them. If they're hitting it on the pause, they don't feel like running after it. They don't feel like chasing it down. They're hitting it out of opportunity of it being there.
And that's better off shrimp under popping corks.
Yeah.
As soon as they're doing on the pause,
go to shrimp. Go to shrimp under the popping cork.
Give them an easy target. They're hungry, but they don't want to work for it.
Right. The other thing that I've been seeing out there is sometimes change is good. Stick out these holes a little longer than you normally would. A tide dying off, a tide picking up, a tide changing direction has been the trigger for these fish to start eating. If it's foggy in the morning, wait for that fog to burn off if they're not eating when it's foggy. When it's sunny, they'll change. If it's sunny and they're not eating, if there's clouds coming, stay there. It's been small, subtle changes like that that have been turning these fish on and off.
Yeah, I get it, you know. I mean, there's a small, subtle change. I ain't going to go to that analogy, sorry. I had this all worked out in my head. I said, you know.
Going back to the droopy microphone, aren't we?
Yeah, that was like something with Victoria's Secret and Granny something or another. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to follow up. I wish I could. God, yeah. You know, you ever get the thing and you just want to yell it out?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but then you know you're going to have to live with what you said.
Right.
So, anyway, okay, we're back.
We have that filter between our brain and our mouth.
And I like it when it kicks in. So, I actually enjoy it when it works. Now, all too often, it doesn't. But what species of fish have been the prevalent fish?
Oh, trout, without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt. We sat there and probably caught 100 trout.
All right. What species of trout is this?
The speckled sea trout.
Spotted sea trout. Okay. Just, you know, because a lot of times we gloss over it so much because we're so used to it. But, we've got these terrific people in Canada, England, Australia listening to the program.
Realize we have three species of trout out
or
there.
Four, yeah.
Four, yeah. So, are silver trout? Are you catching sugar trout? What are you catching?
And trout, for most areas, especially the Canadians, it's a whole different type of fish. And
not
what's
by
weird
much.
Is
not by
they
much.
Look like
they
trout.
They look like rainbow trout.
Except they got big vampire teeth.
The big yellow mouth and the big fangs.
Yep.
You know, you can't lip our trout.
No.
But I've been out there fishing with tackle a lot heavier than I normally do. I love going out there with a trout. Give me a little 5 foot and a half foot, 6 foot, you know, a little buggy whip rod with a size 20 reel. I love going out there and fishing those trout, and they're fun on that light tackle. And if you luck into a bonnet head, it's a blast on that light tackle. But I've been fishing with my redfish and snook gear out there. You know, 7.5 foot rod, 4,000 series reel with 15-pound braid. Because there's been a lot of cobia in behind that bar.
Okay. And
I've seen them on the drift.
I was wondering where you were going with this because
I've seen them on the drift. And lately, I've been watching fish jumping out of the water 100 yards away and just catching them out of the corner of my eye. What the heck was that? And I've been seeing two or three or four of them a day doing this. And we had one do it 3 feet from the side of the boat.
My first thought would have been stingray, but obviously I'm wrong.
That's what I thought too, because it had you saw that goofy color change
right
in the corner of your eye from brown to white.
Gotcha.
And you think it's a stingray. You're seeing, you know, the underneath of them. But we had one do it 3 feet from the side of the boat, and it was a 40-pound cobia.
Really?
And the only thing, you know, they're obviously in there eating the trout, and I think this one took advantage of a small one that we threw back. And that's why he come up out of the water after it. But there's been so many cobia in there on the east side that you got to have that heavy tackle for him.
Just to let you know, guys, it's not normal for a cobia to come out of the water when he eats, but the water is so shallow. And when they come up on the fish have very little place to go. And if they come up towards the surface at all...
And they're coming fast.
And it puts them right at the top. So these cobia, they usually they would be not coming out of the water to eat, but because of the area they're eating in,
right,
they don't. There's not much choice.
No,
if you're
going
to get your lunch, that fish, he can't go down. He can't go to the side. The big fish is right there.
Yep.
So they come up.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
That's what brings those fish out of the water, what normally wouldn't be jumping out of the water like that.
Yeah, and you can tell that mm-hmm. it's not normally a fish that jumps out of the water because there's yeah. zero grace in it.
I've got to tell you, really. Just
yeah. You know, the mullet, they kind of have that glide on their side in the air.
Yeah, well, mullet coming on the jump, and when they come up, and they've got this beautiful jump and this arc, and
yeah.
then the one thing
splat.
They never get is the landing.
No.
I mean, it's
no.
belly flop.
Yeah, plop.
Yeah, it's just plop.
You know, they're not like Mako that land head first almost every time. I mean, it's ugly when a cobia jumps out of the water. Let me tell you. No grace whatsoever.
Okay, so anyway, I got to tell you, I know it's illegal in semi-illegal, kind of illegal, probably illegal. Yeah, it probably definitely is illegal, but I would be really tempted to use just a little oversized hook the trout, and just kind of leave the bobber out there for a while. I'm not going to reel him in just yet. I've got to eat this sandwich before I reel that fish in.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a lot of temptation to resist.
It is. It really is. But we want to go out there and do things right.
I know. I'm just sitting here going, oh, gosh, that would be so tempting just to, okay, boom, boom, set the hook. Okay, he's on. All right, open the bell.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to land him too fast and exhaust the fish. We give him a chance to rest while he's coming in. Because one thing the bobber does is make the trout act in distress.
Right.
He can't
yeah.
swim normally.
He's
so
going to pull, and he's going to fight, and he's going to put out that sick, lame, or lazy vibration.
Yeah, and he's not going to be quick as
nope.
he would without the leash on him.
Pretty easy meal.
A nice, easy meal for one of them cobia. Because I can tell you, accidentally, I have hooked more tarpon and cobia just reeling in a trout or a ladyfish than, I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't imagine how many hundreds of times that's happened over the years.
Definitely.
And the thought, knowing that happens, and I'm going, okay, well, no, I know I can't do that. I got to be good. Okay, I'll reel them in.
We had that happen with when we had Captain Larry Todd out. He bouncing a shrimp on a jig head across the front of the mangroves and peck, 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 wham!
Okay.
And here comes a 20, 25-pound snook out of the water.
Oh, bad.
You know, he ended up losing it, and I told him, I said, that snook didn't eat that shrimp on a jig head. He ate that snapper that was picking at it, and your shrimp was in the way.
Yep.
That's what happened. So you will get stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, and that's exactly my point. And, like I say, it's so hard to resist the temptation. You got the little angel on one shoulder going, no, don't do that. That's not right. And you got the little devil on your shoulder going, just relax a minute.
Yeah,
Don't reel.
That little devil on my shoulder, I was always saying, you know how good that cobia tastes? that's what makes it hard. It's no different than the fish. We're taking advantage of them being hungry and taking advantage of an empty stomach, and then I've got to sit there and watch cobia swing by with that little guy on my shoulders, and you're hungry, aren't you?
Yeah. This could be lunch.
Yep.
So, anyway, but we won't do that kind of stuff. But so what lures are you using?
I've been throwing the 17MR mirror lure.
Okay. Good news is, boys and girls, Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, has booked back in for our March 14th tent event sale. I'm going to throw a little ad in. Eric, the owner of Mirror Lure, and he's bringing his daughter down. And she is an amazing fisherman. And you're going to be able to meet the owner, Miralure, and the upcoming new generation of the owners. And this is going to be a real cool day. March 14th, if you're not in Florida, you're not in Port Charlotte, try to make it that day. This is the only tackle show like it, the only tent event you're ever going to go to. When you walk up to buy a pen reel, it's Mike, the president, CEO of Penn, selling it to you.
Right.
Barry, the owner of Star Rods. Eric, the owner of Miralures. I mean, you and I give every tackle company.
Gary Loomis.
Gary Loomis is going to be here. But, you know, we always talk about these 17 MRs. If you want to see this work, every tackle company that comes, and Rattle Trap is probably coming this year as well, Storm Rapala will be here, they all get a casting tank. So you get to watch the people who own and invent this stuff and make it, and you can, you know, when I go to the show
and show you how to run their lures.
Exactly. It's, you get to see it.
So important. Everybody says the big thing with artificials is confidence. I'm sorry, that's hooey. Okay, your confidence is our empty pegs on the wall. There's your confidence. Those lures
year
work,
after year empty pegs.
Yeah, if those lures didn't work, those pegs wouldn't be empty.
Right.
What it comes down to with artificial lures is technique, running it properly.
And you have to understand how to work the Rapala,
right,
how to work the Miralure. The reason some people throw all Rapalas is because their technique lends itself to that lure.
Right.
Your technique, which you have developed, and I got to give you a lot of credit for this.
Because I hate artificials.
You knew, A, you hate artificials, B, you knew the lure worked, and it took weeks to settle in and get it to work properly, to understand how to use it. And then the more difficult part is how to transfer that knowledge to the customer to allow him to throw it.
Right.
And that's tricky. I mean, I've been doing it for decades, and it's very, very hard to do, is to tell people. That's why we use the bait tank so much.
Right.
But my thing about the tent event sale, the idea behind this was when I would go to do a buying show, and I walk up to a booth, and I get some fishing guide, sorry, no, you know, present company excluded.
Oh, don't apologize to me. You remember, I've worked here for 10 years before I became a guide,
right.
So I've seen why you have this aversion to fishing guides coming to the tent sale.
I don't allow anybody but the ones who work out of here, because they're real people. They don't pretend to know stuff they don't know. And when I go to a trade show, I want somebody who's better informed, knows more about it than I do. And
right,
I want
right.
this person to give me real information, good and bad.
And the guides here that work out of here, most of us get factory support from one company or another, be it Penn or Shimano or with me.
Nobody gets support from Shimano.
Well, okay.
Sorry.
I was trying to be fair.
No. I would say right now that,
I'll be the first one to hand you a Penn rod and reel if I think that will work better for you.
Yeah, I mean, right now, it's all about dollar value. I have no brand loyalty except one, and that's Fish and Franks. That's my brand.
Right.
I am 100% loyal to that and the people who support me. I am not loyal to a factory, a wholesaler, a supplier, a manufacturer at all.
Right.
But when I go up to the booth, I want to talk to somebody in charge, somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who can wheel and deal, somebody who can tell me if this is what I should have. I have seen the president of Penn sell an Akuma reel because they did not have one. They will this year.
Well,
they will this year.
They do this
and
year.
It kicks everybody's butt. I've been playing with it. I love the new prototypes. Absolutely in love with this pen reel. And Mike is never going to have to sell that other reel again.
It was essentially born here.
Yeah.
Because of that.
And this is the chance for them to interact with good people. If you're coming to get something free, if you want a bunch of handouts, don't come.
Right, right.
I don't want you here. They don't want you here.
Yes, this isn't the ICAST show.
No, this is. Go to the Florida Sportsman Show and whine at somebody there.
Right.
This is a show for real fishermen, whether you fish once a year, twice a year. This is for people who want a good deal on their product,
yes,
information about the product, and should I be using this and why. And just like me, when I go to the trade show, I get a couple minutes with these people, and then I go on to do the next thing. You know, they can't spend all day with you. That's just not fair to them or to you. You know, I mean, they need to be able to keep working. But this was what I enjoyed out of the shows, and that's what I brought to our customers. And it's that one-on-one with influential people. Right. And literally the most influential, powerful people in the tackle industry gather at one spot once a year, and it's right here at Fish and Frank's. And I am so proud of that. I have done something with the help of Captain Kale and Robert and the whole pirate crew that no one else has ever been able to do.
Yeah, and it's if you've never been to it, you do need to come and experience.
Need to buy a rod and reel, but...
Yeah, just come.
You're going to come and meet the people in charge of Rapala and see how to work a lure.
Right.
You're going to meet Eric, the owner of Mirror Lures, Mark Nichols, the owner of DOA, Wes, the owner of Rattle Traps. I mean, you get to meet these people, have them show you how to work a lure, and get a good deal on it. Yeah. It's the coolest day ever.
Yep.
I there is not one other thing like it in the United States or the world that I know of.
Nothing that I've seen.
Yeah, and I'm so proud of the fact. And we'll get away from the advertising here, boys. But, sorry. I get so excited about the show because it's just the coolest thing to walk up, have Gary. You can buy a rod from Gary Loomis, have him sign it, and he gives you a deal on it.
Yeah, how cool is that?
I've already started getting orders for edge rods. I got my third order for edge rods. Yeah, I got to put in a bigger order.
Wow.
Get my third order, and these are beautiful new edge rods that Gary Loomis and he hand makes them, and it's just gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous. They are a beautiful rod.
A little on the expensive side, guys. It's, you know, the best day of the year is to come to the tent event because it's the only way you're ever going to get a deal on it. Because Gary flies in.
And get it signed.
And, yeah, you can get it signed and get a deal. It's too cool. Anyway, back to the fishing. All around, Robert and I are going to be doing a whole fishing report here in a little while. But if you were going to send somebody out today just to have some fun, let's pick with a group of kids. Where would be a good spot area to go?
Right where I've been starting my days. And that's right above Pirate Harbor. Come inside the Pirate Harbor channel if your boat has a shallow enough draft. And you would be surprised what kind of a boat that you can fit through there, even on low water days. It's a little deeper there.
The only thing I'm going to add is when you see the channel markers going to Pirate Harbor, shut down dead slow idle.
Yes.
Do not pay attention to anybody running through there in plane.
Right.
Maybe they've been doing it for 100 years. Maybe they're just stupid.
Could be. It could be either one.
Either or. But you and the rest of our customers are not stupid. And you're going to shut down dead slow idle. You're going to leave your motor all the way down. You're going to idle into that main channel, get about halfway from the sandbar, which you will see off on your left, and about halfway to shore, turn left and go north.
About the best recommendation I can give is as you come into Pirate Harbor, you're going to see three or four cutoff pilings on the right-hand side just off the channel.
That's the old ice house. Yeah.
That's the ice house. Continue past the ice house. The markers kind of stop, and then you've got a little goofy white sign that warns you about the channel being shallow. When you get to that white sign, turn north.
Left, yep.
Turn left. Yep. That's where left you want to start.
Clyde.
That's where you want to start coming in. There's a little bit deeper channel in there that you can probably get your boat through if you're still bumping bottom with your engine. Lift it up, get on your trolling motor. But just inside.
And if you don't have a trolling motor, always remember, don't lift your motor more than necessary.
Right. Once you get inside, you're going to find a little long 3 or 4 foot deep hole, depending on the tide, full of trout. There's flounder in there. There's bonnethead sharks in there. There's been a lot of fish in there. If you can't get in there, stay outside the bar just north of Pirate Harbor. Been a lot of bonnet heads out there, been a lot of ladyfish out there.
Now, if you have one of those big boats, what I do is I leave my motor all the way in its lowest position. I always want the motor to bump first. I do not want it to hit. I want it to bump. So I'm idling very slowly towards the sandbar, and as soon as my motor bumps, I stop, shut off the motor, cast towards the bar, and let the wind drift me out away from it.
Right.
And I just keep, you know, zigzagging across, staying away from other boats. Remember, 100-yard rule.
But usually if you get out there in that three-foot depth, you can anchor up there pretty safely, and you're going to find quite a bit of ladyfish and bonnethead out there, which are a blast for the kids.
Cool. All right. Well, it looks like the store's getting a little busy out front. Captain Kale, tell them your cell phone number.
My number is 941-916-4538, and you can find me at www.reelbadfish.com.
You can simply click the logo next to this, and it will take you right to there. I actually learned how to hyperlink.
Sweet!
I love the hyperlink. Hyperlink. Oh, boy. It sounds so cool. It sounds so professional when I say stuff like that.
Futuristic and science fiction-y.
Well, it is 2015. God, I can't believe that.
Aren't we supposed to be driving flying cars by now?
I always said that, and I'm not ever going to say that again because I figured out why.
No, I'm with you. You see how they drive them on land?
Yeah, if there weren't, they can't drive connected to the blacktop. How are they going to drive when it's just flying through the air? No. I would be walking.
I know it's a far cry from what we usually talk about, but Star Trek has brought us so much technology.
Star Trek changed the world. No,
believe it or not.
Gene Roddenberry changed everything.
The problem is he died before they had the transporter figured out. We need that more than anything in Star Trek is a transporter.
Yeah, the Heisenberg compensator or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, yes, I know, folks, but I do have a uniform, I hate to tell you.
That was the one thing that I was going to do to all the PVC pipes underneath your house.
What, put those little tubes around them flashing?
Not just that. I wanted the stickers that say GNDN. If you look at an old Star Trek show, look at the labels on the pipes. They're labeled GNDN.
Okay, what does that mean?
Goes nowhere, does nothing.
Goes nowhere, does nothing.
That's what that sticker meant. I was going to get a bunch of them and put them on all the PVC pipes underneath your house.
Star Trek changed the world on us. Even helped with the fishing. I mean, a lot of this imaging and everything else all started with Star Trek, you know, and it's hard to say one TV series, one movie series changed the world, but every time you walk in a grocery store and the door opens...
Bingo.
Because it was Star Trek.
I just wish it had that little whistle, too. That would make my day.
I was actually... Yeah. You know, but... the guy who did MP3s, when you're listening to the song fragments and our opening and stuff, and even our voice right now over the computer, the guy was watching an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, and Data was listening to music on the computer.
Yeah.
And he said, why can't I listen to my music on my computer? And that's how he ended up doing music on the computer, because he watched Star Trek. So, anyway, and while they did all that, Fish and Frank and Captain Kale are changing the course of fishing.
Hopefully.
And we're right here, and we're going to be helping you out all we can. And thank you guys so much for listening to this ridiculous show. It's supposed to be about fishing, and we're going to try harder and harder to get more fishing and less BS. Won't work. We'll try.
I'd say more fishing. It'll probably be the same more amount fishing. Of BS.
Yeah, we're going to get more fishing. Anyway, this is right at the beginning of January, and we hope your New Year's working out as well for you as it is for us. And thank you guys for listening. Say goodbye, Captain Kale.
We'll see y'all on the water.
Yeah, bye-bye.